So, 58 times in the Bible, in one way or another, it speaks of that we are to love one another, care for one another, pray for one another, encourage one another, help one another, counsel one another, support one another, and on and on and on. And someone calls this mutual ministry of every believer. Every single one of us has this ministry in common, the mutual ministry of every Christian to love their fellow Christian. Ministry of love. Jesus said, by this, all will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And we know that the fruit of the Spirit is love, and we also know that love manifests itself or demonstrates itself in a variety of different ways. And one way that love demonstrates itself, and one way Christians can minister to one another, is by bearing with one another. And when you think of that word bearing with one another, sometimes we can have the thought of, okay, that seems like we're just putting up with people. We're bearing them. We're being forbearing against, you know, with each other. We are kind of, in Christian love, gritting our teeth and loving each other. And sometimes some Christians, that's how they live and walk. I have to be nice. I have to love. I'm going to bear with you. But another way to put it, and the proper biblical translation of it, is to make allowance for others. And that means the act of allowing. It means the amount of something that is permitted. It allows the person to be who they are in the Lord. And making allowance for another person, it comes from the heart. It's a heart of compassion toward a fellow Christian. And the Lord has led me to this theme of making allowances. And this year we are looking at familiar verses, key verses that we demonstrate in our lives, we try to attain to, we memorize, put into practice, all of those things. And there are several, as I said, there are 58 times the Bible relates to this in one way or another, so there's a lot of verses that talk about this, but there's one in particular, two in particular, that I want to share from tonight. The main one is in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, but first we're going to look at Galatians chapter 6. So if you turn with me there, it's verse 2, but I'm going to read the first five verses, Galatians chapter 6. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for each shall bear his own load. So the main context of those verses is talking about a Christian who is overtaken by a sin, by a trespass, and that those who are spiritual, the spiritual Christians, are to come alongside that other Christian to help them up and to walk with them through this trial, this slip, this stumbling, this whatever's going on in their life. But it also has a broader application, and that's kind of what we're going to be looking at tonight. So it would apply to any burden that a Christian might be carrying. So not just a trespass, a sin, it can be a temptation to sin that a believer is struggling with. It can be a failure, it can be a trial that they're in, that they're just not handling quite the way they want to handle it. It can be a weakness, it can even be a quirk or an oddity. We all have them. We all want to think that we're normal, but maybe it is normal to have quirks and oddities. But we are to bear one another, to help one another in wherever we are, in whatever personality and whatever temperament we have. It tells us that those who are spiritual, because how can a carnal or a fleshly Christian help someone in need? And carnal means fleshly, and it just means a Christian who is not spirit-led, spirit-controlled, spirit-dominated. It means a Christian is dominated by themselves, by their own will, by what they want to do, what they think, by their emotions. Yes, there are Christians who are carnal Christians, and there are Christians who are spiritual Christians, and they're still both still Christians, but it's the spiritual one that is supposed to come and help those in need. And we all can all think of, okay, spiritual Christian, we have this in mind and that in mind, and we can have various definitions of that. Sometimes I think it's helpful to look at maybe what a non-spiritual person might look like. So kind of the opposite. And so in this context, in a spiritual Christian is supposed to go help that stumbling Christian or the one who's having some difficulties. So what would a non-spiritual Christian look like in that context? Well, that would be a judgmental Christian. Do you know that judgmental Christians are carnal Christians? They are not spiritual people, but they kind of come across as being spiritual because of the way they say things and judge other people, raising themselves up, so we think that they're spiritual. But anytime we judge another person, that's carnality, that's fleshly, that's not the Spirit of God within us. So a non-spiritual person in a case like this is going to be judgmental over that Christian who just stumbled, who's struggling. They're going to be condemning, maybe not outwardly, but within their own heart, they're condemning, they're putting that person down. A non-spiritual person is disapproving of certain activities that other Christians do, or disapproving of acts or behaviors or whatever. They're critical. A non-spiritual person is a fault finder. And there are people, Christian people, who are fault finders. In fact, there are ministries today that are fault finding ministries that write blogs and think it's their job to point out all the faults of all the other Christians. That's not a spiritual person. Anytime I do that, I am not being spiritual. I'm being dominated by my own flesh. A non-spiritual person would then point out the failures of this struggling Christian and maybe even talk about it. Maybe talk about it to other people and in a disapproving way, discussing their inappropriate dress or their wrong behavior or their wrong activity or even the book they might be reading. And we can look down, the non-spiritual person can look down on that. The non-spiritual person can be impatient with people and can be irritated by their quirks and their oddities and their behavior. a non-spiritual person is a self-righteous person. And they lack compassion. And they don't make allowances for other people. And therefore, they cannot bear one another's burdens. And so, they do not fulfill the law of Christ. Someone said, if there is one mark of perfection, it is simply that it can tolerate the imperfections of others. How good are you doing on that? Someone asked the question, are you good at making allowances for people, or do you have ridiculously high expectations? Just think about that for a moment. Am I good at making allowances for people, or do I have such high expectations that no one can live up to them? Bill McDonald said, instead of standing off at a distance and criticizing or judging, we should fly to the side of the brother or sister in need and help in any way that we can. So a non-spiritual person isn't very attractive, are they? No. And guess what? We all look like that from time to time. Because there's not a perfect person. And God help us, and He will, and He does, to keep growing and to move beyond that. There is a self-righteous person living inside of each one of us, a Pharisee, the one who's right, the one who wants to be right or come across as right or better, the only way that they can do that is by looking down on others. But that's not this ministry that we're called to in the body of Christ. The Lord continually teaches me in this area of bearing with one another, accepting people the way that they are instead of the way I think they should be, and making allowances for people's weaknesses, faults, oddities, quirks, whatever it might be. And He has continually taught me this over the years, because there was a very self-righteous person inside of me who wanted to fault find and be critical. And that is not very attractive. And then the Lord brings you down to that place you need to be and where you need people to make allowances for you, and they're not doing that, and then that produces greater compassion in your life. So for the past 35 years, He's been teaching this to me over and over and over again, and sometimes very intensely, and then other times gradually, and it's just been, again, as we said when we began this, we are learning the same truth in a deeper way, in a much deeper way. So if you turn to Ephesians now, Chapter 4, and a couple of years ago, I started reading through the Bible in different translations. And sometimes it just brings the verse to life in a greater way. Now, in the New King James, which is what we're reading from, Ephesians 4, verse 2, but I'll start in verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to have a walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. Now, the New Living Translation, when I read this, it was like, wow, okay. Verse 2, always be humble and gentle, be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. I love that. Colossians 3:13 says the same thing. Make allowance for each other's faults. If you don't have a New Living, write it down. making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Oh, so people are going to have faults. Christians have faults. Yeah. So make allowance for them because of your love, because of the love of Christ within me. Isn't that beautiful? And that's that ministry that we are all called to make allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Now, making allowance for each other's faults is not tolerance to the point of compromise. So it's not, okay, I'm just going to love everyone around me and let them do whatever and be whatever they want, whether they're in my home or, you know, I'm just going to embrace everything and everyone. That is not making allowances. That can be tolerance to the point of compromise. It isn't making excuses for sinful behavior in another Christian or chronic carnal behavior in another Christian. That's not making allowances. It's not like, well, you know, Marianne's our friend, and you know, you don't want to tell her that because you know how Marianne is. She just tells everybody everything, you know. So we just kind of brush off that Marianne is a gossip, and Marianne can't keep a secret. That's not making an allowance for a person. Or, you know, Roger, he's just always tries to, you know, one-up everybody and make himself shine in that. Oh, that's just Roger. We just overlook that. If that's a continual chronic carnal behavior, that's not making allowance. That's enabling. That's making an excuse. Or if we walk on eggshells, how many of you have ever had to walk on eggshells around people? Isn't that fun? It is not fun. Because the moment you don't, guess what happens? Which is why you walk on eggshells, to keep the peace. But it will only last as long as you are walking on eggshells. That's not making allowance for another person. That's not Christian love. And that's a whole other study. But it's enabling. And that's not what we're talking about when we talk about making allowances. We're talking about our brothers and sisters in Christ. They're trying to grow in the Lord. They're walking with the Lord. They're trying the best that they can try. But they're going to trip and fall. They're going to be odd. They're going to have struggles. We all do. It's helpful when we take some things into consideration and we don't just kind of broad brush everyone and every situation. I had to read my scribbles on here. So there's a few things that we should, in obeying this verse and growing in this verse, making allowances for others' faults, there's a few things to consider, a few things to think about. Number one, age. I mean, some of these things are going to be real obvious, but age. You have to take into consideration the person's age. Now, we do that as parents, don't we? So we have, you know, a three-year-old. Three-year-olds tend, not all three-year-olds, I suppose, maybe not yours, tend to have fits every once in a while. And a three-year-old can have a fit because they're having a fit because they don't get their own way. And a three-year-old can have a fit because they're very tired because you've drugged them all over with your errands that you're doing and they don't have the emotional maturity to deal with how they're feeling and so they just have a meltdown and have a fit. You have to take that into consideration in making allowances. We do that. We're moms. We know we do that. Or we know we should do that more often than we really do. So, but you have to take age into consideration. It's easier when they're younger. because you don't expect a 3-year-old to act like a 5-year-old. You don't expect an 8-year-old to act like a 14-year-old. You don't expect a 15-year-old to act like a 20-year-old. We know that. But you don't expect a 25-year-old to act like a 35-year-old. The older you get, you lose that. And we have to take that into consideration. We're all growing as people. And age does matter in that. And so even a 35-year-old is not going to act like a 50-year-old. And a 50-year-old isn't going to act like an 80-year-old at all. We have to take that into consideration. So that's a very easy thing. In making an allowance for someone, you can take that into consideration. Another thing is just the maturity of a person as a person. I'm not even talking about spiritual maturity. I'm talking about just maturity as a person. Because age and maturity don't always match at all. You know, there are 5-year-olds who act like a 10-year-old at time, and there are 5-year-olds who act like a 2-year-old. You know, as a teenager, there are teenagers who are very responsible, and they think and act like a 20-year-old, and there are some who act like an 8-year-old, and they need to take a nap. I mean, it's just maturity as a person. There's also 35-year-olds, 32-year-olds, 44-year-olds. They are not that mature just as a person, whereas somebody else might be. And we have to take that into consideration. There's background. And unless you know a person's background, you don't have a clue. And we really need to stop when we're dealing with our brothers and sisters in Christ to stop and say, you know what, I don't know anything about this person, their background. That person could have been severely abused in their childhood. We don't know how they grew up. We don't know what went on in the home. We have to take that into consideration. Some people, they have different behavior. You have to think, yeah, they should be acting this way, but they're not. I gotta give them some slack here, making an allowance for that. Genetics is a big thing, too. We don't know what kind of DNA, what kind of gene pool they come from. There could be mental illness there. There could be tendencies toward alcoholism or some kind of addiction or depression. Those things are very real, and we have to take that into consideration and not expect everybody just to snap out of everything. Circumstances and situations. Again, unless you know what a person is going through at the time, you don't have a clue. We don't have a clue. Unless they have told us or we know, we don't have a clue. We cannot just assume. So we make an allowance for this person when they have a bad day or they say something they shouldn't or a behavior that doesn't really match what they really are. Okay, something's going on here. There's a lot of circumstances that we go through as Christian people that are very private and nobody else knows. You know, we don't know when people come in the door. I don't know how many of you. There can be marital problems, severe marital problems. There can be abuse in the home. There can be someone in the youth group, and they're a little odd or a little off or whatever, and they don't have a lot of friends. You have no idea what goes on in that home. They're not going to tell you because they don't want to be even odder than they are. And you have to take that into consideration as that mutual ministry of love and forbearance with one another. There's a lot of unseen pressure in Christians' lives. Spiritual maturity, too. You know, time in the Lord does not equal a certain level of spiritual maturity. we want it to, right? We want somebody who's walked with the Lord for 20 years to have this level of spiritual maturity. Somebody who's walked with the Lord or been in church for 40 years to have this level of spiritual maturity. But that's not the case. We don't know how much they're in the Word of God. We don't know how much they've been taught. We don't know how much they've yielded themselves to the work of the Holy Spirit. We don't know that. You have to take everything into consideration. You know, just because we, and I really wish I would have heard these things as a new Christian. Because as a new Christian, I had this idea, and I don't know where I got it from, but I had this idea is you come to the Lord. I am a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And now I'm not going to have any problems. So anything that's happened in my childhood or in the past, that's just washed away, and now I'm a new creation. And a lot of Christians think that is how it is and how it's supposed to be in the body of Christ, and why don't you just get over your childhood? Why don't you just pull out of that depression and snap out of your weirdness or whatever it might be? It doesn't just go away. We're brand new creations, yes, but God is still working in us. And you've heard that illustration where we come to the Lord and there's a list of, I want to say bazillion things, but that's too much for a mind, but let's just say 100 things, okay, that are not really fitting for a Christian, okay? It needs to be worked out of our life. And yet for some of us, we think this should be out of their life immediately. And the Lord's saying, that's number 82 on the list. I'm working on these things. And that's what he does in our lives. And we need to make allowance for other people. Because just because he took number two away at number two, that doesn't mean he's going to do that in this Christian's life and they're not less of a person. I got all warped as a new Christian. I don't know where it came from, but it did. It's like, you know, you're expecting this and you shouldn't, and you know. We need to also be careful that we don't put other people, you know, in our shoes in that they're going through something. Maybe they're in a very difficult, long trial, but it really has been long enough. And because if that were me, you see, I would have moved on. But they're not moving on. We can't do that with people. We can't put them in our shoes, and they should be doing what we would be doing. And of course, you don't know what you would be doing until you go through that, right? We need to put ourselves in their shoes as much as possible and making allowance, being patient with each other's faults, being patient with people's quirks, and giving the benefit of the doubt. 1 Corinthians 13 talks about love. Love is not provoked. Love doesn't think evil. And love believes all things, or it gives the benefit of the doubt to other believers. Look at Jesus and how he treated people. You look at the Gospels and how he treated people. He never condemned or looked down on them. He didn't avoid them or mistreat them at all. He loved them. You might think, okay, well, those people were not Christians. They didn't, you know, have the Holy Spirit, and they didn't know him yet. And I do that with non-Christians. And yeah, you know, some of us Christians, we have more patience, and we make more allowance for sinners, the unbeliever people, than we do our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, because Christians know better, and they shouldn't act that way or do that way. As a new Christian, I saw that bumper sticker. I don't know that anybody has it on their car anymore. Christians aren't perfect. They're just forgiven. And yes, some people can take that to the extreme and just, you know, sin and you have to forgive me and that kind of a thing. But, you know, the fact is that Christians are not perfect. There's no one that is perfect. No one. Again, when we come to know the Lord and we're a brand new Christian, it doesn't take away our personality. It doesn't take away our temperament. It takes a lifetime to get all that under the control of the Holy Spirit. And it is not until we are face to face with Jesus that we will then look like him and fully act like him. And we need to lighten up. And I know this is exhortive. I exhort myself. The Lord has spoken these things a lot stronger than I'm saying it tonight to myself over the years. It's lighten up. That is the ministry of love. I am not perfect. You are not perfect. I have faults. I have a lot of faults. You have faults. Maybe you have a lot of faults too. I have quirks. I probably have a lot more quirks than I think I have. But we all have quirks, don't we? And you know, you can be the nicest Christian there is, and you are still going to rub somebody wrong. We all do. There's not a person in the room who has not rubbed some other Christian the wrong way. We're human beings. It's going to happen. And aren't you glad that God takes all of that into consideration? All of your faults, all of your quirks, all of your weaknesses. And he is so patient, so patient. I thank the Lord for his long-suffering in my life. He is the faithful one. And he is the lover of my soul. He is the lover of your soul. He is so patient with us. Exodus 34:6, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. That's who he is to you. Psalm 86:15, but you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. Psalm 111:4, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Psalm 145:8, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. Peter calls him the divine long-suffering. I love that. He's been forbearing with me. He's made allowances for me. He doesn't let me get away with sin. Or he doesn't let me get away with chronic carnal behavior. He corrects me all the time. But he makes allowance. And that's the ministry that we have one to another in the body of Christ. So we need to humble ourselves before the Lord. Galatians told us that you who are spiritual, do you want to be a spiritual person? I hope you want to be a spiritual person. That's a good ambition to have. Not a self-righteous person, a spiritual person, one who is dominated by the Holy Spirit. We need to humble ourselves before the Lord. In that Galatians passage, it says to consider yourself. And as I heard as a brand new Christian, and I love this, but for the grace of God, there go I. Meaning in every situation when I see another believer fall, stumble, deal with the same weakness over and over again, struggle with temptation, not act the way they should be acting or I think they should be acting, I need to think, you know what? If I were in that same place, same circumstances, same gene pool, same background, same living condition within wherever they're living, same pressures, I'd be in the same place. I can't think that I'm going to do better. But for the grace of God, there go I. It builds compassion in a life. Fenelon, I don't know how many of you read him, but he is slightly exhortive, but very, very good. Through weakness, learn compassion toward the faults of others. Do you want God to be as critical of you as you are of others? It seems you need a larger heart when dealing with others' shortcomings. Why are you so impatient if people don't correct their faults immediately? Everyone has faults. If you were perfect, you could deal with the imperfections of others without letting them bother you. Don't be surprised at the defects in good people. God leaves weakness in all of us. In those who are advanced, the weakness is out of proportion to their otherwise mature life. In a field, a workman may leave a pillar of earth to measure the amount of material removed. God leaves similar pillars within those that he is perfecting. You need to be more tender-hearted and compassionate toward the faults of others, and I love this, let everything that bothers you flow like water under a bridge. Isn't that a great thing to have in your heart and mind? Let everything that bothers you, everything about that person, everything about that group of people or whatever it might be, just let it flow like water under a bridge. Bishop Mull has said that forbearance is allowing for each other's frailties and mistakes. And even when they turn and wound you, finding it easy to see with their eyes, and if need be, take sides with them against yourself. That's making allowances. Isn't that great? Even if somebody says something they shouldn't say to you, they offend you or whatever, take sides with them against yourself. It's good for your flesh. No, that's just, it's a heart of compassion. It's the ministry of love that we have for one another. Don't treat others the way they treat you. And that is our fleshly response. You do that to me, I'm going to do that to you. Well, every time I walk in, you never say hi to me. Well, I'm not going to say hi to you. I mean, that's just our flesh. That's just how we want to respond. But what did Jesus say? He said, however you want people to treat you, so treat them. So when we're tempted to get impatient, to judge, we need to stop and think about, I mean, this is just a basic thing, but stop and think about how would you like to be in that position where you're being judged or somebody's being impatient with you? How would that make you feel? And then just do the opposite of what your flesh wants to do. If you want to get angry, you want to get impatient, you want to ignore, you want to avoid, you want to confront, whatever it might be, just do the opposite and love with the compassion. Taking time to get to know a person helps. It helps. So if there's a person or people in your life, I mean, you know the people you live with, so you know you don't have to like really get to know them. You know them really well, But we're talking about within the body of Christ. So when we fellowship with one another, when we serve with one another, again, everybody's going to rub somebody the wrong way. It's just going to happen. So if there is a person that you're having a hard time making allowance for that person because whatever your reason is, they should know better or whatever it might be, maybe you should get to take time to get to know them a little bit and find out what makes them tick. I like to do that. People are interesting and they're puzzling to me too sometimes. And those that I have thought, I don't get her. I don't understand that. That I have had the opportunity to get to know that maybe one time she decided to share her background or her story with me. It's like, wow, I get it now. I get it. Still might bug me here and there, but I get it. You can make allowance. So take time to get to know that person that you're having struggles with, making allowance for them. And after this, do not get paranoid if somebody out of the blue now asks you out to lunch and says, oh, I want to get to know you. Don't assume that you're bugging her, okay? Make allowance for her too. But getting to know people gives us a greater understanding and a bigger heart of compassion. So we are to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Beautiful verses, beautiful theme, simple message, good reminder, and good questions to ask. Am I making allowances for people, or do I have too high of expectations? And if you find yourself in that place, and even if you don't, you might want to read Romans 14 in the New Living Translation. It's talking about the weaknesses of others, and one eats this food, and then the other one says, no, I shouldn't, and people looking down on each other. But in the New Living, I think the Lord will minister to you. Ask the Lord to give you a greater understanding of people, a bigger heart for them, not to analyze and show me what's going on in this person's life, but, you know, Lord, there's got to be a bigger picture here. Give me a bigger heart to reach out and to love this person. Bearing with one another, making allowances for each other, comes from a heart of compassion. Not just obedience, although we need to be obedient, but it needs to go deeper than that. Not just a thing that we do because we are Christians, but a thing that we do because we have experienced the love of Christ, because we have experienced His mercy, His compassion, His grace, His long-suffering in our lives. And then we can serve one another in this mutual ministry of bearing with one another, making allowances for each other, and fulfilling the law of Christ, His law of love. Father, I pray that You would work that into our hearts. And this message might be a no-brainer for so many or a good reminder. But I pray, Lord, that You would take Your word and these truths. And Father, help us just to take a big, deep breath and relax and allow our brothers and sisters in Christ, with all of their quirks and oddities and weaknesses and struggles, just to be who they are in You. Help us, Father, to be spiritually minded people, spiritually dominated people, so that we can minister one to another, that we can love each other the way that you love us. Help us to grow in this area. And I pray that if there is a little Pharisee peeping out of our lives or oozing out of our lives, if there's a critical spirit, a judgmental spirit, self-righteousness, whatever it might be, Lord, show us tonight. And give us a greater understanding of what you have done for us. And the mercy and the compassion, the long-suffering, the divine long-suffering. I love that about you, Lord. Work these things into our hearts and into our lives so they will flow out of our lives onto one another and we will grow to look more like you. Let's just take a moment just to be quiet before the Lord. And Trinity, if you want to come up and get ready to close us in a song.